Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you, to me, to all of us, recognizing, remembering who we are, who and what we are. That's important. That's important. If you wake up every day, just remember who you are. Just knowing that you're part of something so great, we use words, but it's really indescribable. That's good enough. That is good enough. But if you need some help or reminder, we've got Carly Jackson in the house. Carly Jackson, yes, in the house to remind us.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
And I say yes as we continue to walk in the spiritual truth that sets us free, and that truth change. Well, the truth doesn't change, but change happens. And every time we must remember to push the application key. So here's Carlton Pearson reminding us that everything must change.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mystery do
unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not can be sure of. Except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring, wounded heart will heal,
yes it will,
but never much too soon. Yes, everything become the old. Mysteries do unfold.
Yes, they do.
'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, farmer's ground is plowed, people live and people die, yeah, but still we can revive, we must always try, seasons come and go. Winter brings fresh snow. Flowers bloom in spring. Little birds always sing. Summer beaches foam. You will never walk alone. Changes, changes, changes. Everything. Yeah. fractions of time rolls away, and everything
is sitting in a chair, waving her hands side to side, eyes all closed, Earthweb singing quietly. We can hear you. That's right. Everything must change. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. But we do. Why do we worry about things? We worry about worrying. Ooh, even what you're worried about today will change. And what you're excited about will change. But somehow, I don't know about you, I forget that what I'm moving through and growing through is going to change. All I got to say is thank God for the changes.
Make the thrive. Thank God for this change.
I know that's right. Everything must change. Bishop Carlton Pearson. What a prayer, a reminder, affirmation, affirmative statement, affirmative thought. That everything must change. And through our spiritual work, if we can do the work to strengthen our spiritual muscles so that we are reminded, especially during the traumatizing experience, the time where things just look like it's the end of the world or, you know, the hardest of times, there's something in us, something in you, something will remind you, a word, a voice from within, a friend will remind you that everything changes. Everything. No matter how much you hold on to. Even your consciousness will change. That's important now. That's important to let your consciousness change. Because really, that's what it's about. That's what it is about. If you are not growing, if you're not expanding, and I'm talking about consciously. I'm talking about consciously choosing to grow, choosing to be more, choosing to surrender, choosing to forgive. That's the real work. That's the real work. The most important work that you will ever do in your life is spiritual work. It's not even about how you relate with others. It's more about how you relate with yourself. How are you seeing yourself today? Do you see yourself through the eyes of love? Can you see yourself through the eyes of good? Can you see yourself through the eyes of your beloved? And not nitpick here. Well, I am good sometimes. Oh, well, I know that because I've been doing it so long, I better know it. But can you just look at yourself with eyes of compassion? And see how beautiful you are, how special you are, how important you are in the big scheme of life. You're part of a puzzle, a divine puzzle. And without you, the whole world is incomplete. You know that? So while you're worrying about changing your shape and worrying about changing your color, whatever it is you want to change about yourself in order to fit into the puzzle of life, you leave us feeling incomplete. Just come as you are. Come as you are. To find out more about Bishop Carlton Pearson, he'll be here real soon. But his virtual home is bishoppearson.com.
good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And once you catch the inspiration, the in-breath, the breath of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration, the spirit within you, when you wake up to that inner essence, that animated force that moves, in and as you, oh my God, you'll be different. So you can't help but make a difference. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, metaphysical rebel, Ade Anifowushi, and all other names that we don't have time for right now to go into. Welcome to the House of Love. Thank you for tuning in. We're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, for a little while, and things are going to change. And, oh, yeah, things are going to change. I didn't think about that, actually. That's what it's about. Maybe unconsciously I did. I don't know, but who cares? It's nice to see you all in the chat room. Welcome, Koya, silent listeners, disguised as guests, Mother Wit, Valerie, New Jace, Jackie, Virtual House, or Virtual Office, even, Electra. I'm trying to get musical. Yvette, welcome. Celeste is in the house. Ambassador is in the house. Have you played with yourself today? Adults have a way to play, work, and not play. I'm trying to do Ambassador's voice. Let me see. Yeah, stop it. That's what she said, stop it. thank you all for tuning in. New listeners, old listeners, long-time listeners, those of you listening on the archive, those of you listening for the first time, even if you were forced to listen to the show, welcome. I can't even imagine that. Can't imagine you being forced to listen to this show. All I see is people running. Hurry up. Life Coach Ade's on the air. Come on, man. Stop what y'all doing. He's serving soul food for your consciousness. And you certainly need it because you need to let go of some weight. You got some stuff going on that you need to let go of. I want to welcome my Within Radio listeners as well. Thank you for tuning in. And it's a good time to go to Celeste before I start being even more silly and talking stuff.
Can we really stop you from doing that? Hello,
no,
Life Coach Ade. Hello. I know. I saw that fire. Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody in the chat room on the phone lines. So glad to be here today. I love me some Bishop. We already started church.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Distributing fans.
It's funny because I was going to say, when you said, I'm so glad to be here, you sound like them church ladies. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
God's been good to me. Y'all just don't know. You woke me up this morning.
Hey, started me on
my
way.
Mind.
Oh, I have Southern roots.
You do?
I do. Very deep.
Oh, okay.
Southern roots from Georgia and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know how to get my church on. All is well.
All is
and you,
well.
You know, I am going to make a mention. I said, in you have deep roots, and they are stretching out and moving over to other networks. We're going to take a field trip to Hay House Radio next Tuesday.
That's right.
You're going to be on the Aries panel. Tell us about that. You excited?
Well, I am excited. I'm nervously excited because, like, oh my God, you know, like when you're at home, you can be who you want to be, but when you go to somebody else's house, you gotta kind of like, can I put my legs on the table? Do I need to put my shoes on the outside, or do I need to bring it in? Do I need to use my fork and knife, or just use my fingers? So that's kind of what I'm going through. But yes, Mark Hawthorne invited me to be part of a panel, the Aries panel. That's next Tuesday, 12 p.m. Eastern. And I think there's three of us, well, altogether four, Mark and three other guests. And so the show next week will start 12 to 1. We'll start on Hay House, and then we'll come over here to continue the show at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. Why? Because we can. You know, no need to trip. Because we can. We can change.
We cool like that.
Hey, we cool like that. So,
I think spirit. Mm-hmm. What are you laughing at? I heard your thought, but I didn't quite say it out. Say it louder. You had a thought there. What are you thinking about?
What an amazing radio show this is, where you get to show up and be yourself. And I'm also thinking, at Mark's house, that's also your house. So he'll let you eat with your fingers or put your feet up, as long as what you're offering is edifying.
Well, just FYI, I only ate chicken wings with my fingers, okay, before people start getting ideas. Because I can't do pork and with chicken wings. You know, when it gets caught in between, in the middle, ooh, you just want to get to it. And you're like, if you go to a place where you have to just fork and knife, you're like, oh, I want that piece, but everybody else uses a fork and knife. Mm. And so, you know.
That's on
but
you.
I'm just saying. Yes.
That's
and,
on you.
For
I
those
love
of you
seafood with my fingers.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Okay.
And for those of you who are saying, and those who are saying, I thought he was a vegetarian. I am. I am a meat-eating vegetarian. So just calm down. And so anyway, now that we got that straight, also, Celeste, we need to let listeners know, right, that the show is going to, what is it, April 28th, we'll be doing
That's
one
right.
show a week. Well, Ask Life Coach at Age radio show will air once a week on Monday, 12 p.m. It'll be archived. The only thing that will change is I'll be in the archive on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'll be back live on Monday. So if you want to find me on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go in the archive. I'll be right there waiting for you. But other than that, if you want me live, it's on Mondays, 12 p.m. Eastern. So
knock on wood.
You've got some things to say. Knock on wood. What you knocking on wood for?
Yeah, I mean, sure, you're going to be doing the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show on Mondays, but I sense, I'm looking at my crystal ball, but I sense that there might be some other things coming down the path where people get to experience you in different ways, that's all. I mean, I could be wrong.
Okay.
I wouldn't bet my rent money
okay.
on it, but I'm just saying.
All right, then. Is that good enough? Enough to wood for you.
Good. All right, yes.
All right, cool.
I'm ready to give more about announcements, so. You're right.
Okay, good. All right. Well, we'll catch you on the rebound. And Bishop is going to be joining
forward.
Us real soon. Looking forward.
Mm-hmm. His people are ready. And I have to tell you, his people from Streaming Consciousness are already
mm-hmm.
reaching out to make sure that they're tuning in on time. So Bishop has mm-hmm. a serious crew that when he is on the air, they're just like, hey, I want to make sure, is this the right link? So just big shout out to his people right now. My goodness.
Well, if he's bringing his people, I want you and Yvette to make sure that they have their drink, everything they need, treat them special. But
Absolutely.
No more special than
we
treat our regular, yeah, no more special than we treat our regular listeners, because everyone is special.
They're all family. I got you.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Celeste. It's time for some announcements. Let's do it.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all of the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1. For Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. If you have questions or thoughts for upcoming shows for Life Coach a Day, you can email them to ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of April is Nothing matters, and everything does. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safara for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. And don't forget to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Breaking news. We are still having the Sounds of Soul with the Danny Feloce Party on the Sounds of Soul page on Facebook at 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday nights. Be on the lookout for a link and instructions of where to find the party and the chat room. We'll be sure to keep you updated. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
I'm back. I'm right here. Thank you. Whew. Thank you, Celeste. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you for expressing as me. Other than that, I won't know what to do with myself. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And as Celeste reminded you, the theme for the month is nothing matters, so relax, don't trip, and everything does, so get on and do your thing. The bishop is in the house, we're getting ready to bring him on, and what else do I need to say, tell you, let me see, let me know, I don't know, I just want to welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you listening online, archive, on the phone line, thank you for tuning in. And if you're listening for the first time, yeah, make sure you hug everybody in the house because we are lovers in this place. We love folks. We love you through your stuff, even if you got issues, even if you're a hot mess. We will love all of that out of you until you catch the message. And when you catch the message, oh, you become the messenger of love. That's how we do it over here. It's time to expand our consciousness and walk in the spiritual truth that we know. Rather than spending time judging people, we can be the change we want to see. We can stand for love. We can stand for compassion. We can stand for understanding. The truth is we need each other because we all belong. So the one you judge today might be the one who's going to donate an organ to you. So be careful who you judge. It may come back to you and bite you in the boaz.
Do not share that joke, that story, until Bishop comes on, because I definitely want to hear his reflection about that. Oh, my God.
No, we ain't talking about nobody's boaz or your ass and all of that. So we just need to keep it moving.
Oh, my goodness. You gave him a hint.
I mean, come on.
Really, he's going to break that down. He's going to break that down. I love it.
Bishop. Bishop is a man of high caliber. I mean, we can't be doing stuff like that when he's around. We need to get ourselves together. Let's go in the corner and meditate. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about Bishop.
Well, it is my pleasure to tell you about Bishop Carlton Pearson. He is a friend, family member of this show. He is blazing a new trail of spiritual leadership on a global scale. Bishop Carlton Pearson is the founder, CEO, spiritual director of New Dimension Chicago, which is said to be the friendliest, trendiest, most radically inclusive faith consciousness in the Chicagoland area. The release of his book, The Gospel of Inclusion, is helping him to become a voice of reason in a world of religious extremes. He fills the mandate to help enhance the possibilities of peace on the planet through his emphasis on a more inclusive approach to spirituality, encouraging interfaith dialogue and fellowship. Bishop Pearson teaches that we don't have to go along and get along, that we can mind many of the same things without necessarily having the same mind about everything. His work towards racial reconciliation, bridging the gap between ethnic groups, nations, and denominations, have given him audience with kings, presidents, and other government officials and people of influence, both in America and abroad. He's followed up with his latest book, God is Not a Christian, Nor a Jew, Muslim, Hindu. God dwells with us, in us, around us, as us. He is presently working on his next book titled, You're Not in Trouble, You're in Transition, Making, Managing, and Mastering Change. Family, please welcome Bishop Carlton Pearson.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, Bishop Pearson. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for those kind words. I wrote them. She read them just the way I wrote them.
Aww, thank you, Bishop.
Oh, you're so sweet, honey. Thank you. You're kind. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing good.
Well,
excited.
Yeah, the best is next. The best is yet and next to come is what I like to say always. That's ongoing, evolving relevance and significance and awakening and imparting and impacting up for good and for God. That never ends.
Yeah, never end. And we just need to remind ourselves that that doesn't end and we can walk in it. And I want to talk more about that and how we embody the spiritual truth, that the best is yet to come and next to come, and we are actually the best that is yet to come. But before we do that, this unusual question I got from a listener who said, you got to ask Bishop this question. And the question is, who are you? Who is Bishop Carlton Pearson?
Well, you know, you don't really know that except by second because you keep evolving. So you can say who you are today and you may be different tomorrow because I believe that we're not only multi-dimensional, we are interdimensional people and that we can go from different dimensions of the self and experience different aspects of the self in any given situation, day, or even time of day. So I always hesitate answering that definitively. I don't want to be definite. I just want to be infinite, which means unending and without finish. So I don't want to limit myself to a definition of who I am, but I will say the one word, evolving, becoming, and,
yes.
and growing. And I love that because I get to know, it's like being in a zoo, if you will, and looking at all the different animations. I don't say animals, I say animations, because there's different animations of each individual. There's a lion in me, there's a seal in me, there's a pup in me, there's a pelican in me, there's a baboon in me, there's a baby kitten. So I'm loving all of that and enjoying what it feels like.
And some folks got other stuff in them, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, you're right.
That alone.
That is right. That is right.
This is the house of love. Yes. I mean, this journey of life. I mean, for me, I find that the deeper I go, the more I know, the more I learn. I keep finding that there is more. Sometimes I'm thinking, I don't know what I think I know. I realize how much I don't know. There's so much. And, you know, we're talking, you know, you talked about being one with God and your book, you know, we're one with God. God is not just exclusive to a religion or spiritual tradition, but we are the expression of the goodness. Today's topic is walking in spiritual truth. And, there's so much going on now, and to the uninvolved mind, they will think, oh, my God, this is the worst of time. For me, I see that we are waking up, and the light is shining, and we're seeing things that we didn't see before. But somehow, there are people still struggling, thinking, oh, my God, it's like they're taken over by deep-rooted fear thoughts. I want to ask you, as we're evolving, humanity is evolving, what are some of the things that you're seeing that makes you celebrate life, but you notice other people being afraid of what is happening?
Well, fear is not always bad. It is a wake-up call. It is to alert you more than alarm you to the realities that change is imminent, that something is coming. It doesn't have to be bad. Some people are afraid if they win. I just heard a guy that won $25 million lottery, and he couldn't sleep for 4 days. He was panicked, And that's all good news, but in that good news are some foreboding, ominous signals as well. So even in the birth of a child, suddenly you're going to get married. That means your responsibilities change. So there's a little fear, intimidation, or trepidation. So you're going to get pregnant. Oh, my God, I've got a baby. It's wonderful joy mixed with a certain amount of apprehension. I got a new job. I wanted this new job, but there's a whole new challenge. So I turn every instance of fear into a powerful possibility of faith that I should experience myself in one of those dimensions, you know, in which we move randomly, spontaneously, and responsibly every day. Mm-hmm. You see, people are not really blind as much as they're blindfolded. And when you take the blindfolds off, the light is stunning. And when I see that in a lot of the reactions to things I post or things I say or things I write, they freak out. But the light is so bright, and somebody once said it's understandable when a child is afraid of the dark, but it's a tragedy when an adult is afraid of the light. But the explanation is that if you're asleep, you know, spirituality means waking up. Anthony DeMello says, now most people, even though they don't know it, are asleep. They're born asleep, they live asleep, they marry in their sleep, they breed children in their sleep, they die in their sleep without ever waking up. they're sleepwalkers. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by the way they talk. They sleep talkers. They're not sinning. So all of the mystics of all the different disciplines and religions and spontaneities, they all have one thing in conclusion, and that is that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. Everything is okay. Mm-hmm. The strange, it may seem like it's in a mess. It may seem all screwed up. But everything ultimately is okay. Tragically, most people never get to see all that is well because they are asleep. They are having a nightmare. They're living a nightmare in their sleep. So our objective is to awaken. This is what your program does so much, and this whole network of stimulating consciousness. I call it streaming in my realm. My objective is, is to awaken people out of the deep sleep, and or take the blindfolds off. But sometimes I take it off a little abruptly, and they screech because the light is too bright. But once their eyes acclimate, you know, it's like somebody comes to your room in the middle of the night and turn a bright light on. The first thing is like, turn that light up again, you know, because it's not the light is bad. It's just your eyes haven't adjusted. Once the view and the perceptions adjust, brilliance of consciousness will have far less protestation.
You know, as I listen to you, I'm thinking of a quote that says, once you wake, something, I'm paraphrasing here, you're less caught up in judging other people. And some of the things that I see when we talk about being the change, you come into Atlanta and being part of a walk called Be the Change. And there are people who would say they've woken up, they found a new way, now they're living their truth. But in their comments sometimes, it's judgment of the past, judgment of their own past, be it the church, the mosque, or people who they consider to be sleepwalking. How do you suggest people navigate that journey where they recognize that they're waking up and they still have family members who are still maybe still got the blindfold on? Is it really their business to tell them that your problem is you're blindfolded and you're blindfolded by the minister and blah, blah, blah? Or is there a way of being to support them, maybe even help them take off the blindfold? So you take one end and you take the other, metaphorically. Because I believe that judgment begets judgment. So, but if we're awake, and if we're judging others, for me, I would say we're still sleepwalking. What are your thoughts?
Well, you're right. It's really situational. Some people inquire because they're curious. Others inquire because they're furious. And you have to be able to determine which is which and respond accordingly. Certain levels of energy in a curious question, another level of energy is in a furious question. You have to decide what energy you will respond to and how. there are a lot of people who are genuinely interested in growing and evolving and becoming. They are bored or tired or even frightened of where they've been or how they've been, and they will come to you for support and help and affirmation. Others come confrontationally, angry at what you seem to be suggesting is their lack, or that you're suggesting that they should change. They really want to, but the challenge of change is too much. They want to be free, but of course freedom is not for cowards. You have to do the work, and you have to be willing to be the work. And so I'm learning, sometimes I get a little anxious too, and I want to just bark back, and every once in a while, seems like the Lord anoints me to do that, just bark, right? And then sometimes, like Jesus turning the tables with a whip in the temple, you know, every once in a while that energy arises. And it may seem appropriate, I don't know, it brings attention to something. But in general, hurting people, as you know, hurt people. When you look at your past and say, not why am I hurting, but where did the pain originate? Because that's the only way you can resolve it. Where did this come from? It's not the memory. It's the lie embedded in the memory. I have to keep reminding myself. It's not the memory of the abuse, verbally or sexually or psychologically or physically. It's not the memory of the abandonment that you felt when your parent left you or somebody didn't want you. A lot of many people come to this planet having heard the grumblings of their parents while they were in vitro, while they were still in the womb. They felt the vibrations of the negativity. I wish I shouldn't have had this baby. I didn't know I was pregnant. Oh, this is a mess. Well, why didn't you use protection? And the argument, the fetus can actually feel and absorb those vibrations, and they come here feeling unwanted. They don't know that they feel unwanted, but they react to that feeling, that rejection. Even though once they get here, people, parents and grandparents, may shower them with love, but their soul remembers the initial reticence and absorbs it. So the kind of therapy that we do is we help them remember that they were not abandoned. That was just a story. And we make up stories to explain our feelings. And the universe doesn't judge you just by what you feel, but by what you think about what you feel and what you think about that. So making up these stories about and embellishing them, I'm sure you saw No, or you will, I saw it, and it's a huge embellishment. And all movies are based on some book or something are embellishments of the actual original story. And that original story may not even be accurate. Who knows?
Right.
Most of those biblical stories are allegories and things. So we make up stories. The thing I'm dealing with in my life, and I would encourage all our listeners to, is to study your story. Who made that story up? How much of it is accurate? How much of it is original? How much of it is plagiarism? Because you live by that story.
Yeah.
Did you write it, or did you edit it? Or was it written and somebody else edited? Are you actually in the class auditing or taking it for credit? There are different ways to look at your life. We're all in the class. You're going to learn. As you said earlier, your Boaz, your aspects is in the class specs. So you have to you have to learn how to decipher that and sort through all the confusion. How many stories have we made up? And we're making them our reality because what you create a reality out of the frequency to which you are tuned, the frequency that you're – and when I say frequency, I mean that which you think about most frequently creates the frequency out of which you create your realities. You create them. I create them. We create our realities. What frequency are you tuned into? What are you saying and thinking most frequently to yourself? What story are you writing, rewriting, or reading? Maybe you're just reading a story and relating to it. It's not really your story, but you're walking it and living it. It's an ongoing, and I call that self-therapy. I minister to myself saying, okay, Carlton, now wait a minute. What, tell me that again. Where'd you get that? So who is that, you talking? Or is that you feeling? Or is that you thinking? Did you make that up? Are you repeating something? Did you hear that 40 years ago, or in my case, 61 years ago, when you were in your mother's womb? Because everything has conversations. Every cell in your body is having a conversation with another cell. Every atom, every proton, every neutron, everything is conversing. What is the conversation or story? And nobody can answer that but you. Yeah, I cannot answer. Right. You cannot answer for my story, and I can't answer for yours. But I do have to listen and see what I'm and study what I'm listening to. Do you know that the word "listen" originates from the same term as lusting? You hear what you lust or what you want to hear.
True. Yeah.
We have lusting desires for. Some people just want to hear pathos. They want to hear pain. They want to hear deadly negative emotion. They've learned how to sort through that, and they found it appealing. They don't want good news. they felt less significant, or their adrenal glands are not active when there's no trauma. So they create trauma because they live off the drug of adrenaline.
Right.
And so they make up stuff. I've done that.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I want to go back to what you said earlier. You said the lie embedded in the memory. And I think of a memory on a computer. A dear friend of ours, J.D. Messenger, calls them faulty, limited, and outdated programs. Now, let's talk about the lies, because sometimes it's easy to look at other people and say, yeah, I need to change how I'm being, or, you know, I need to be compassionate with them. But the lies in our own memory, the virus in our own operating system, the faulty, limited, what he calls it, flops, faulty, limited, and outdated programs. You know, the flops in our own hard drives actually eat at us sometimes if we're not aware.
Yeah.
So some of the things you talked about is abandonment, not enough. I'm thinking things like people say, I'm not intelligent, I'm not smart enough, my brother is more loved by my parents, my sister is the one that does. You know, we have a way of just frequently thinking thoughts, as you said, that keeps us in a vibration that is not for our highest good. Now, how do you suggest we go about extracting, removing the lies in the hard drive of our consciousness?
Well, first of all, with memories, there's always memories. When I say memory, the things you nurture. And we tend to nurture pain more than anything. You bring the pain to your breast, and you become the mammy of it. And your memory, your emotional mammary glands, nurture that memory because it's so painful. You don't You know, when something is hurting, of course, you're putting whatever you put on it. If you have an open sore or something like that, or if you have back pain or your knees are hurting, or you have a shoulder pain or a toothache or a headache, people, you would develop coping mechanisms, behavioral modifications, and basically it's all pain management because we don't know how to remove the pain. We just know how to manage it. People are busy with their lives using painkillers. Religion can be that, you know. Even if you sit to meditate or get in a position of yoga, and you're constantly trying to manage the pathos of your undefined or unrefined self, it hurts. Even love can be pathetic. I mean, it can be so painful because to not – I have aging parents. My dad's 87. My mother's 84. And there are things they need, and I'm not there, and I want to help them, but it's so painful when I can't be there. Because I live in Chicago, and I used to live 15 minutes from their back door. So they're all right, but at the same time, there's a certain pathos, there's a certain pathology, if you will, that I experience when I can't do for them. And that part is not about them. I'm in more pain than they are, thinking that they're in pain and I can't help them. You know, we bring this stuff on ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what you call, that's what I call mammary, nurturing the pain. Now, there are lies that say, my parents are really okay. Everything and everybody is. Everything is consciousness. But if you perceive a situation, When I watch the news, some people say, I don't watch the news because I can't stand all that bad news. Well, I can understand that because there's so much bad news out there. I mean, the suffering and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the famine and what's happening in the Ukraine and what's happening in Syria and what's happening right now in Chile. You know, I think about all that. I have people coming here for some gumbo. I fix some good gumbo. My gumbo is so good. People stand in line to eat my gumbo. But that's beside the point, son.
No wonder your church is doing what it does. So what you do is cook the gumbo, and they're like,
Bishop,
this is good.
I'm one of those meat-eating vegetarians, as you say. And
that's right.
But when I goes back, when I'm in the kitchen, here's another issue of memories, Ade. When I'm in the kitchen, guess who shows up? And that, well, the reason I'm so good in the kitchen is my grandmother shows up, and she's been gone since 1964. My aunt, 97 years old, died 2 years ago, transitioned. The old saints, the Mother Sherman, many people have heard me talk about, the little sweet people who cooked with their hands and made everything by scratch, and they were so consoling and so comforting. When I feel lonely or frightened or intimidated as a grown 61-year-old man, I can go in that kitchen and make some cream of wheat, and I'll think about my mother's cream of wheat. Or I can start working on a sweet potato pie, and I'll think about my aunt. It's funny. I hear the voices. I can smell their kitchens. I become that little boy, comforted and totally secure under my grandmother's apron. She used to let me stand under her apron while she was frying chicken because I wanted to be right snug with her. And she didn't want the chicken grease to get on me. And sometimes she'd make me go, but sometimes she would say, okay, stand right there. And she would just put the apron over my little face, and I just wanted to be in there with her. Isn't that interesting? Now, those are pleasant memories. I also have a memory of slamming. I didn't slam the door. I was holding the door open. I thought she was holding the door open. I let the little screen door close, and it popped her in the top of her forehead. And she was dying of cancer at the time, and I was about 9 years old. That's a very painful memory, and it's 65 years. It's what is it? 50 some years old. Now, what is the lie in that? The lie is that I intentionally or even accidentally hurt my grandmother. I hurt my grandmother, who was already sick and dying. I offended my own compassion. And I was running to the car to cry because my sister, who had been spending the night with her, had to go home and get her head did. So my mother was taking her home. And I didn't want her to go, my sister Gail. So I ran to the car to kiss her. And when I did, and my grandmother didn't want me to leave because she's lived alone and she was dying, and I always comforted her and loved on her. So I have all these feelings and all these emotions that are out of my past. I have to sort through them and extract or redefine, decide how I'm going to perceive the experience and the stories that I've made up around that experience. Here I am. She died in 64. So I'm way now in 2014, and I'm still dealing with not allowing any inaccuracy of that experience invade my present. The other thing is to complete the path. How do you complete the path so you can seize the moment? You complete the path. One of the words for complete actually is similar to the base of the word complement. You don't compete with the path. You complete the path by allowing the path to be complementary to you. Don't see it as something terrible. See it as something that is enhancing. All things literally work together for our good. And I give everything and everybody the benefit of the doubt. No, to compliment is like a polite expression of praise or admiration. Let your past, however painful it was, be an expression of praise and admiration. Let it embrace you and enhance you and love you instead of letting it threaten you. It's back there.
Right.
Nothing, everything ultimately points to our best. And let it greet you congratulatory, and salute it, however painful it was. Again, I didn't have a mama. I didn't have a daddy. Or I was abused, and I was left alone, and we didn't have money, and nobody wanted me. And, you know, my mother tried to abort. She didn't try to legally abort me, but by the time I was born, And I'm the fourth of seven children. Actually, the first one only lived 14 hours, and my sister, my brother, my other sister, then me. By the time they got to me, wasn't nobody happy. Mom was mad at Daddy. We were poor. They didn't want another mouth to feed, and I mean, she wasn't trying to have me. In fact, my sister preceded me, was born exactly a year to the day of my brother. So my brother was born July 8th. 1 year later, Renee was born.
Wow.
And then the next March, I was born. March after that, not the next one, but the. So mother was tired of having these little Negroes coming. She didn't want us. She was uncomfortable, and she didn't like Daddy. So by the time I came, nobody took pictures of me. If I go to your mother's house, I'll see a beautiful little cute picture of your little round face, I'm sure. You cannot find that in my house.
Wow.
Nobody was glad.
You've definitely rectified that, because if we Google you, we'll see your picture everywhere. And I was like, I'm going to show you. So even your past helps you create present moment. Yes.
You overcompensate.
Yes. That's right.
And sometimes the middle child
The
middle child is the most assertive and tries harder and sometimes becomes the most successful because they have to prove the worthiness and validation of their presence in on the earth, because they felt in vitro or before they got here, that's not the proper term, that they were wanted, but they were welcomed, but not wanted. A lot of people go around wrestling with the emotion. They know they're welcome, but they've never really felt wanted. I think I still deal with that now every once in a while. I don't realize it until I say, well, wait a minute, where did that come from? You're making that story up, Carlton. You were sent here. Your parents may have decided to have you, but God decided to send you. So you reassess it. Isn't that something? Oh, my goodness.
It is. That's right. You running around yet? And shouting, "Woo! Got him!"
Yeah.
When you came back, you were like, "Woo!" I love how you said
that. Yeah, I started thinking about my essence, and it's just like, wow, rejoice, boy. Rejoice.
Yes. And we're going to take a break in a few seconds, but one of the things that you brought up, because I was going to ask you, and you spoke to it, and that you verbally expressed that, is we nurture pain in our heart. But what you also showed us is how to nurture the thoughts that will lift us up, gratitude, the blessings, the lessons we've learned in life, so we can balance that. And it came out your mouth just like that. It's like, for me, I felt like you just caught it. It's like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, there's so much I want to talk about. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some questions for you. And I also want to hear your thoughts on I was thinking, the things that happened to us in the past, no matter how traumatic it was, it doesn't matter if it's an abuse, I really do believe it's part of a spiritual design. And what I mean by that is it's part of the lesson that we came here to learn, overcome, whatever the case may be.
Yes.
When we come back on the break, I want to talk more about that, all right?
Okay, perfect.
Life is good. It's getting better. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guest, he's not a guest. He's our brother. He's our friend. His family, Bishop Carlton Pearson, who has a way of just going inside the hard drive of your consciousness and removing the spywares and the malwares and all the viruses. Now, by the time you finish, you've got more space in your consciousness to receive more good, more love. You must press the application key. It's up to you to press the application key and install the new awareness, or else you're just an outdated computer waiting to be upgraded. Number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're taking your questions and comments, and we welcome all of you for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show is here Monday to Wednesday for a couple more weeks. And all the shows are archived. You can subscribe on
what is it? What's that place called? The iTunes? iTunes, that's it. I tune into my memory to remember what it's called. iTunes.com, and just type in Life Conversations. It's time for a break. Let's bring on Celeste for some PSA and let you know what's going on Life Conversations Radio. Hey, Celeste. Are you finding yourself drinking some water?
I had to drink some water. It's very healing because there's so much fire in the house. I love it when Bishop comes home and checks us out, his other home on the radio. But I know that everybody is just enjoying a stimulating conversation. I want to thank the both of you for it. But I do have some information for those of you in the Atlanta area. There is an amazing opportunity coming up that we want to make sure you're aware of. Wellness Through Healthy Living at Hillside International Truth Center coming up this Saturday, April 5th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And hey, guess what? You'll also find Life Coach Today at this event. You get to find out how to love your body to life with workshops on energetic healing, colon health, dealing with obesity, reflexology, Reiki, Tai Chi, yoga, Qigong, African drumming therapy, and information on the Affordable Care Act. You can get free health screenings and information and free samples. The Wellness Through Healthy Living Health Fair is free and open to the public. Again, that's this Saturday, April 5th, from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. at Hillside International Truth Center. For more information, call 404-758-6811 or go to hillsideinternational.org. Now, I'm sure you guys are enjoying this conversation, and we have more in store for you, a lineup of spectacular shows coming up on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Next week, we have Dawn Wolf, keeper of stories, joining Life Coach Today for a powerful conversation between two spiritual brothers, and there is no telling where these guys are going to go in this conversation, so you definitely want to miss that. And don't forget, we're going to have a really special field trip on Tuesday, which means that at 12 o'clock, Life Coach Today will be joining Mark Husson at HayHouseRadio.com for the Aries panel. Then you're invited to come back to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show from 1 to 2 p.m. to continue our life conversation. Life Coach Today will also be flying solo next week to provide you some soul food for your consciousness. And don't forget to be on the lookout for the Sounds of Soul party with Ade Nufo-Oshe on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be sure to post the link and to let you know where to go to play with us in the chat room. So make sure you don't miss these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Husson, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, for more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room. An event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Be the change you want to see. Indeed, that's the real work. Whenever you see something out there that just rubs you the wrong way, activates you, trigger you, guess what? You're being reminded to do the work within yourself. Bring healing to it so that you may see the healed expression on the outside. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Our brother is in the house, Bishop Carlton Pearson, helping you to find yourself, come back to yourself, and most importantly, fall in love with yourself. Because you need you, and we need you. Now we're going to do Celestial Moment and continue the conversation after Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste.
Hello, Life Coach Ade, Bishop Carlton, and beautiful family members. I'm so happy to do the Celestial Moment today because, like I say, I love the numbers game, and we are so in alignment today. You'll see what I mean in just a second. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 4. 4 is known for its stability and groundedness in numerology, and is often called the number of the worker bees, and has been given a reputation of being a square. There is far more to receive when we understand that 4 is ruled by Uranus. And this planet is known for inventiveness and thinking outside the box. As a matter of fact, there is no box. 4 also has a soft feminine side that people often miss, as it shows up as the deer in the medicine cards. And the deer's gift is to teach us the path of gentleness. Our 4th chakra is our heart chakra, and when it is balanced, we are open and able to receive and give love unconditionally. Now, 4 also shows up as the Emperor in tarot cards, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Father to a setting direction, he leaps from chaos to defend protection, creating order by applying reason and a structure sound through every season. The Emperor is astrologically associated to the fire sign of Aries. The Emperor is known as the father figure of tarot, and his lessons teach us how to use our power and bring form and order to what we say we want in our lives. We have the tools to make empowered choices when we pull on the power of the Emperor. We have the strength to walk in our spiritual truth. All is well. And that's the story of 4, told through our friend, the Emperor of Tarot Cards. I'll see you on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you for reminding us to be gentle and compassionate with ourselves as we delete all the lies that are embedded in our memory. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Life is good. Life is good. It's getting better. This is Destiny Muhammad, harpist from the hood, in this musical prayer called Grace. And it's time to go back to Bishop Carlton to continue the conversation. Welcome back, Bishop.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be back. Glad to be anywhere.
Yes, yes, yes. I know, that's right. Anyway, it is what it is. Now, before the break, I was talking about the experience that we went through when we were younger. It's part of a divine design. And so you talked about by the time you came around, they didn't want nothing to do with you. There was, you know, they weren't even taking pictures. And, and I want you to talk more about the challenges of, that we go through when we're younger. We may judge our parents for what they did or didn't do, but really, they were being healing angels. We got some background noise. Oh, Lord, you got a lot of background noise behind you, Bishop.
Okay, that's the dishwasher. Sorry. I went in there to see if my grandmother was going to show up. I went in there to see if my grandmother was going to show up in the kitchen.
Well, they made a quest for your gumbo, too. So, yeah, maybe we can come and hang out with you and have a spiritual gumbo.
Yes, sir. You too.
Yeah, so just talk to us about the challenges, the traumatic experiences that we went through as children, how that is tied into our spiritual mission, if you will, on this planet.
Well, you know, I think the first idols, gods and goddesses we ever worship, are our parents. Are the base of our religious consciousness or our worship consciousness starts at the breast or knee of our parent. And those early experiences, especially between 0 and 6, which are the most formative and impacting and implanting times of our lives, are crucial. So looking in the past and studying how and the circumstances of which around which you were raised, what initial things were imparted into your spirit and your mind or your psyche, your values, I have to go back and study mine and sort through them and reappraise and re-perceive them, change the perception in order for whatever happened then not to be anything but a positive enhancement of where I am today. Now, that takes work. You don't take things for granted. But my bottom line for any positive influence of thought or confluence of thought is give people and everything the benefit of the doubt. Self-doubt is worse than self-fear or self-hatred. Doubt and double, they're spelled similar. One is D-O-U-B-T, the other is D-O-U-B-L-E. It has to do with the dual appreciation of oneself. If you doubt you, you double back. He loves me not, with God. They love me, they love me not. I love me not. This bouncing back, this doubting syndrome, and the scripture says a double-minded person is unstable in all his or her ways. You have no stability. and no definition when you are doubting. So you have to decide what you're going to believe. First, I always ask myself and I ask audiences that I speak to, what do you believe? Not just about God, Scripture, Jesus, devil's consciousness. What do you believe about you? And why do you believe that about you? And how do those beliefs about you add to or subtract from the quality of your life experience? Because as I was saying earlier, we create based on beliefs. And when I say believe, that means what you are convinced of about you, or convicted. Convincere is the Latin term. What has victory over you? That's where we get it from. It is anybody convicted or convinced, whatever they are convicted of or convinced of, has victory over them. And they become a victim to what they are convinced of. So we have to decide, what do I believe? What conviction do I have about myself? And is that accurate? Is it fair? And am I a victim to it? And if so, why? A victim can either be an offering or awful. You know, what do you offer yourself to? So I go back and look at my childhood experiences and how I worshipped my parents, also feared them for a spanking or a whipping, but I didn't, and then I had judgments about them, and the older you get, the younger you realize they were when they had you and what they didn't know. And then you study their relationship as best as you can with their parents, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. My mother was an only child. My dad was the eldest of seven. One's more nurturing, one's more self-centered, but they're both mine. Mm-hmm. And one of Dad's 400 million microscopic seed, one, fertilized my mother's one egg. Instantly, my genetic code was established. My DNA was stamped on every ultimate cell in my body. And I came rushing down this vaginal passageway, this canal, and popped out on a table, and they hit me and wiped me. And, you know, they don't do that as much today, but they slapped my tail, and it stunned me. And I inhaled, and I learned how to breathe air instead of just the amniotic fluids, and I started looking, you know, for something to nurture me. Isn't it interesting that babies suck their thumb when they're still in their mother's womb? Now we know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What would make a baby, because you didn't go to computer class for that, you didn't go to humanities class for that, what would make a baby pull a milkless thumb to its mouth and suck it right after it has heard the mama scream or the daddy argue? It pulls it up there, and it self-medicates. And at one time I saw a young lady who did child care with children, preschool care with children. She said, "We're teaching the children how to suck their thumbs." I said, "What? Excuse me?" Yeah,
what?
That's exactly what I said. "We're teaching children to suck their thumbs." And I said, "Why?" All my life, I had two sisters that sucked their thumb. You'd always say, "Get that nasty finger out your mouth. Get that thumb. Get," you know. I heard that all my life. "That's nasty. That's dirty." She said, "No. When a child automatically sucks its thumb, it is ministering to itself. If you remove the thumb and replace it with a pacifier or anything else, you teach the child to start depending on something outside itself."
Wow.
So when you have the need, and grown people do it. In fact, she said she was driving home from coming. This was in New York. This young lady was telling me. She said she was on the subway coming home. She saw a grown man sitting on the front seat of the subway sucking his thumb.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But beat drugs. But there's a principle behind that. We're learning how to self-medicate by self-meditating.
Mm-hmm.
You meditate on yourself. You meditate on your soul. You meditate on your reality, on your essence. You focus on who you are and who you are becoming. Not just what is, but who is. What is, maybe you're late on a bill. What is, maybe you have stomach pain. What is, maybe somebody doesn't like you on the job. But who is? Are you wounded? Are you broken? Are you defining yourself that way? And again, a lot of that goes back to how we evaluate and or reevaluate our childhood. When's the first time you remember feeling loved? You don't have to answer that, but I asked that. When's the first time I can recall the first time I really felt nurtured and loved? And it wasn't so much from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was from my grandmother, who I said transitioned when I was 10, and my godmother. She's 80. She's going to be 90 in September. I actually remember it more recently from my father when Dad would pick us up as kids. I'm still trying to remember when I felt the first time I felt love from my mom many, many times, but the first time, it just hit me right now, the first time I felt it. She says I had to be less than 3 years old when I described the situation. Now, it's not that it wasn't there, but I recognized it. And how did I interpret that experience? I ask everybody in the audience to try to recall the first time they cognitively remember an experience of love that has stayed with them, and what were the circumstances of it, and from whom did you feel that love? And how often have you felt it since from anybody?
That's a deep question. I'm like, so many things are flashing through my mind now. It's like, okay, focus, you're on the show. You're taking me to therapy.
Me too. Because how you interpret that initial, what I'm saying is the way you interpret that initial experience of love is the way you're going to interpret every other one subsequent to it.
Yes.
Whether it's erotic love, whether it's phileo, whether it's agape, whether it's platonic love.
Right, right.
How do you interpret that? See, that's very important.
Oof. Now you take it there. I mean, I have a question I want to ask you, but I'm going to hold on that. So how about, speaking of childhood experience, and knowing that, what is it, I don't know, 1 in 4 people have been sexually abused or something like that. I can't remember the statistics. So if I don't know, we're getting some more background noise again.
I'm sorry.
If someone was sexually abused, raped, or molested when they were younger, and the molester, the abuser said to them, I'm doing this because I love you.
Yep.
And as a child, that got embedded, that lie got embedded in their memory. And now when they ask themselves, when was the first time you remember being loved, and that comes.
They will say that.
How can, you're right, so how can they, what do you suggest to kind of deal with that trauma? Because if one's memory of being loved, because that's what they were told, and that went into their memory, and it's like, okay, that must be love, but they've grown to know it wasn't. But somehow is still in their consciousness. How can they start to dissolve, heal that erroneous belief?
Well, it's first of all, sex itself is not bad. It's normal. It's natural. It's beautiful. It can be. It's ordained. It can be divine. So separate sex from abuse. The word abuse is made up of two English words, abnormal use, abuse. When it's abnormally used, and sometimes that can happen between husband and wife or two partners who use it against one another in a non-complimentary a non-consensus way, that can be considered and is legally considered abuse as well. So you go back to the situation when the first experience of love, like my wife was abused as a child by a brother. Mm. She doesn't even remember the exact age. That brother still lives. He's schizophrenic, manic, depressive. And I can say that because he would never listen to this broadcast.
Okay, good. Your secret is safe with us, too.
Let's play Vegas for a little bit. Let it stay in Vegas.
But, I know that's right.
Yeah. And I met him and talked to him, and we still attend to him. His mother has transitioned, so he is mentally ill, and we all look after him, his other sisters and brothers and stuff. Now, Gina is so tender with him and so gentle. If initially that worried me. My wife's a life coach. And it because she was too kind. Sometimes I felt like she was kinder to him than she was to me. She let him get by with stuff. She won't let me. So I was thinking that's the way she diffuses it. If she sees it ugly and angry and victimized all her life, that's what she will be. She had to look beyond the literally the fault and see the need. I don't, Ade, I don't judge a person by what they do or have done, but by what they were thinking about 10 minutes before they did it, or 10 seconds, usually 10 years or weeks or months. What leads up? Because if you just deal with what they did, you're dealing with symptom, not source. Where there's fruit, there's root. If a person is abusive verbally, psychologically, sexually, physically, that's the fruit. What is the root? Where is the underlying anger? Jesus makes reference to laying the axe to the root of things. So that's kind of what we're doing today. We're going backwards to find out the root of our experiences. What causes this kind of fruit of lack and debt and anger and sense, the false sense of alienation or isolation, loneliness, self-doubt and self-worth? How do we deal with these crazy thoughts that enter into nearly every relationship we have, spiritually, even with God, whoever you call your God or however? He or she or it loves me and loves me. If I don't meditate enough, or I don't pray enough, if I don't read enough scripture or holy writ, if I don't say enough mantras and you know, repeat enough slogans, and if I don't hug a tree enough or lay in some dirt, you know, all the different things we do. I got to burn a crystal. I got to sit here. Make sure your hands, your palms are open, or your hands are open, or your legs are just right. Make sure you're comfortable. I like all that. I understand all that, but it can be very legalistic. And what is the bottom line of all that? I'm trying to feel good about me.
Mm-hmm.
What different thing, and why do you not feel good without all of that? Are we ever good enough just being? Some people, they cannot eat a meal without counting calories and judging themselves. They never enjoy the meal fully because they're thinking of the toxins and the germs and the calories and the enhancements, you know, the genetic shifts. So we can never enjoy a meal. Sometimes you can be as much as you try to sanitize your hands with all the hand. Sometimes I can almost drink hand sanitizer. And I wasn't that way until I had my children. When I got children, I got paranoid. If my mother would fly on an airplane with me, she wanted to go to the restaurant, I would go in there first and make sure it was clean. From the person who just proceeded away, Mom, let me check it out. I would clean it myself just because my mother was going to use it. And I literally wash my kids' hands, put that stuff on them to the place that they're almost immune from it. And I had to stop and say, wait a minute, the world will never be that sanitized. You have germs everywhere and bacteria everywhere, good and bad. Both have their place. So allow, get in the flow, and don't allow yourselves to be paranoid about anything. And again, give everything and everyone the benefit of the doubt. You may be disappointed from time to time, but disappointment doesn't mean unappointment. You still have an appointment with life, an appointment with your soul and with yourself, and an appointment to exist and to be and become and evolve and expand and extend. That never changes. If you're in a jail cell, you still expand because everything is consciousness. So you become less and less a victim of circumstances or of destiny or even of creation. We're not victims. We're victors, and that's by choice.
Mm-hmm. We're having a conversation with Bishop Carlton. The topic is walking in your spiritual truth. It's about application. And doing the work and getting help when you need to, for therapy, meet with a minister, a coach, whatever, somebody who can help you go back and just deal with the past memory. But we must be willing to do the work. Now, we've got a couple more questions, and I want to talk about the walk that's happened here in Atlanta. So the next question I want to ask you is, we're talking, you know, just in the same context of the things that happened to us when we were growing up, a lot of people, particularly in America, religion is a big deal. It's a big flipping deal. I mean, people say, what's your name? What church you go to? Are you Christian? Are you saved? And there are a lot of people now on the spiritual path who are learning new way of being. They're learning something new about themselves, about God, about their relationship with the earth and everything. But I want to ask you, what is your how do you see the state of affairs of the black church right now? And are there anything do you see any shifts happening?
Yes, I do. The most resistant to it is the black church of all the churches, and next with that would be possibly Southern Baptists, the most fundamentalist state groups. But the black church itself is evolving and dissolving at the same time. And we've been trying to – I spent the first 50 years of my life trying to repair old wineskins, the models and modalities. And I felt it was a sacred trust to keep the church, the quote-unquote, the kingdom of God in place. And that was not exclusively the black church, but it was particularly the African-American expression of worship. And then I've come to the conclusion that if you're preparing old wine skins, you'd only be preparing it for old wine. And Jesus said, new wine doesn't fit in old wine skins. They burst. Right. That's what happened to my whole ministry in Oklahoma. It was an old wine skin. I hated to admit it. It's a little insulting even now to say, because I'd had such success and I spent many days fasting and praying and, you know, building this multi-mega church up for the standards of Oklahoma. Multicultural, beautiful thing. And then I started trying to pour new wine into it, and the whole thing collapsed. Then I started trying to repair the old wineskins when clearly it's not supposed to work. So I don't repair or replenish. It's time to replace the old wineskins. Sometimes you need a new car. You don't need to repair the old one anymore. Or you don't need another patch on those britches or get those shoes repaired again. Replace them. The black church now, or really fundamentalist religion, period, in all the different disciplines, is struggling with the reality that the old model is broke and cannot and really should not be repaired. It's run its course. It's expired. It's like medicines that worked at one time, and they have an expiration date. So do your licenses and other things. So religion's various aspects of it has expiration dates. You can still take the med, but it will not treat you. What people are experiencing now, Audie, is they're going to church taking the same meds, but they've expired. So it's not really – they leave there with the pain. That the pain was only deadened, it wasn't cured anyway. But religion, we go and have a good time at church on Sunday and holler and shout and run, and I've done all of that. And I left there feeling better, sometimes pretty good, but I wasn't healed. I wasn't cured. Mm. I was just attended to. You know, they treated my pain. And much of what we do kills pain. It doesn't cure it.
Mm.
And so the church is now the experiences, they're saying, wait a minute, I took those pills, two of them, and then I came home and watched Christian television and I read a couple of scriptures, and my head is still hurting spiritually. It used to stop the pain. The medication has expired. Right. The treatment doesn't work the same way because you're changing too.
Mm-hmm.
So what the church hasn't realized is we've got to, and that's why I just did something on how many people are leaving the church every day. I mean, millions are just walking out of the churches. The average is about 1,200 to 1,500 ministers leave the ministry a month, and about that many laity leave the church every day, not just a month, every day. Millions of people. And that doesn't mean they're bad or necessarily that church is bad. It's just that it's not working. And when it doesn't work, you have to change.
That's a lot
of people, and I'm not sponsoring or encouraging divorce, but some people made choices that were less in their best favor 30 years ago, and they've been putting up with things that to the point that now it's abusive psychologically, if not physically. And it's not working. And I like that term they use, conscious uncoupling.
I was talking about that yesterday.
Well, because, you know, we've been so condemnatory of divorces, and I'm not promoting it. But I have advised some couples in my church over the 35 years I pastored that it might be the best thing because the miracle we were believing didn't happen. And sometimes it's not supposed to. Because I believe when a miracle is supposed to occur, it does.
That's right.
When a healing is supposed to occur, it does. Now, you can either live with the pain, pain meds, or be cured.
Mm.
Sometimes the cure involves an amputation.
Okay, I know that's right.
Now, we don't get a lot of that, but millions of people have to go through. The gangrene is just going to destroy the germs, the toxins, the poisons are in the body. If you leave it there, it's going to fill the whole body. I'd rather say, rather than hating and yourself and the situation, change. If you sit in church every Sunday, you've been, my mama went to, my grandma went, we helped build this church. We own that pew over there. That, you know, people sit around and do that. And they hate the church, hate the preacher, love the memory. All sentiment. They get nothing out of the service. They sit there, nitpick and criticize. I know churches right now where the founder is no longer present, either transition or it's moved away. And they sit there in angst and anger, and all they do is think about past glories and mourn their losses. But they never miss a service.
Yes, everything must change. About two years
everything
ago,
must change, and it will change.
That's right, and it is changing, you know, so we can wake up to know that it's happening. I interviewed a sister about 2 weeks ago. She was an evangelist, a prophetess. I mean, all the titles, she was speaking in tongues, everything from, since she was young, Jehovah Witness. I mean, she was going to different churches, and now she uses this label as she's now an atheist. She's a, herself, yes, and an atheist. What is it, atheist, agnostic or something like that? And her stand is, it's not that there isn't God. She just wants some proof. Now, one of the things she did say was, I asked her, I said, what kind of proof would you want to see? It's like, well, where limbs grow back and where people are raised from the dead. And I'm thinking, I've read stories. I've heard people, speakers, where limbs grew back. But I thought, I really wasn't interested. I wasn't trying to convert her or change her thinking. I just wanted to hear a story. But it was quite fascinating. It was quite fascinating.
Well, she's what I call an atheist who is a theist. She still does believe in God.
Yeah.
Just not the old one.
That's right. Exactly what I got from her. You're right. You're right on the money right there. I want to – I've got a few things. I want to throw this in because okay, so let me just throw this in. So we're coming up to the anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr., and that man is definitely probably one of the greatest American, one of the greatest human beings to walk this planet. When we're talking about the spiritual awareness, the shift that humanity has gone through, how do you see his message influencing us now? And how did it influence you?
Well, almost as profoundly, because all the mystics and shaman and evolved masters and have the same message of love and compassion and tolerance with elements of celebration. His words are impacting like the words of Jesus, except his words seemed a little bit more or articulately and ornately profound. This is going to make some people uncomfortable, but if you study the teachings of Jesus, he was not a profound, dynamic preacher like some of these big pulpiteer guys that shake the house. If Jesus had a church, a lot of people wouldn't go there for his message; they'd go there for his miracles.
Right.
Dr. King had this commanding voice and the articulation of the language and command of it. And for such a young man, there's no way you could not listen to him or hear him and not know, whether you deny it or not, that man operated under a different covenant than most people. He flowed in an energy and a vein that masses recognized just the sound of his voice, the vibrations in his voice, and intonations and invocations in his voice made something happen. Kind of like Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Master, we know you are a teacher sent from God, for no one could do these miracles except God be with him. Now, the miracle that happened around Dr. King and the Mahatmas, and Mahatma was not known to be this great orator, He was a simple, small, soft-spoken person, but he carried a very weighty spirit. So these things manifest differently, but Dr. King, in this country, really was an agent of change, and it involved his death, or it wouldn't have moved the way, as fast as much as we hated it. What made his words more impacting and his spirit more lingering and lasting was the fact that he was assassinated. Nobody would listen. Do you know what? You know what I found out, Ade? And I'm not comparing myself with Dr. King or even Jesus, but before I started preaching expanded consciousness, this is a little bit of an insult. Nobody paid any attention to what I said. They only paid attention to what I did, the events I put on, the books I wrote. But nobody was really talking about anything Carlton Pearson said. Now they're talking about what I – did you hear what he said? Here's what Bishop Pearson believes. Wasn't nobody saying that before?
Now, that's a thought. That's a thought.
It's like nobody was listening to me. I hate to tell you that, but it, I really hate to tell you. It's stunning to my ministerial ego that nobody was listening to me or can remember much of what I preached. I did have one of my cousins ask me yesterday for some of my old sermons. You annoying, cuz. People love you, cuz. You don't know how many people love you. Go back and get your old stuff. Like, she didn't ask me for any of my new stuff. A lot of people come up and they think they're complimenting me by saying, "Brother, you are such a ooh, I love your." So, can you got any of your old sermons? I said, "I got one yesterday, but you don't want that, right?" Well, you know the old stuff.
It is. Yesterday was old, and you know we've got to take a call. But what I also hear is when people start saying, "Did you hear what he said?" That means you're waking people up with your message, because when people are asleep, they can't hear what you're saying. So you know you're waking people up. Yep, so that's a good thing. Let's take a call. We got Ebony calling from UK. Hey, Ebony, how are you doing? Ebony, should I say? Let's try that again.
Hi, everyone.
Ebony. How are
you? Thank you. I'm good. I'm calling from the UK, and I have been listening. I got my own show on BTR and interested in your speaker and what he's saying. Interested because I recently did... we did a little documentary about God wanting you married for singles in the UK, really talking about how difficult it is to, you know, move out of singlehood, into what the Bible may be talking about in terms of, you know, marriage. And I just wondered what advice the bishop would give to singles, given that I think your message sounds like it's moved into this kind of transformational message in the, for 2014. Doesn't sound like some of the older stuff you hear from people from the church. So I want to know, in kind of 2014, what would be your advice for singles who want to move out of singledom, given that the dating world has changed so much and it is so difficult now for singles to operate in the way that they used to. And there are also, sorry, I'm going to add to this, there's also so many single women in the church waiting for a husband that looks like they will never get.
Good question, Ebony. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, that's right. Thank you. Go ahead, Rev. Well,
that is a staggering question, because it relates to a staggering, if I use that term, if I can use it, reality that there women to this day outnumber men 5 to 1. Actually, more males are born, but they die easier because their physical defense system is different from females. their immune system is slightly different from females. That being said, I was single for 40 years, and we say I'm saved, single, and satisfied. To a certain extent, I was. I didn't marry just because I wanted to be in love or just because I was in love. I married because I wanted a family. I wanted that unit. I wanted children. In fact, I was more in love with love, and Jean and I knew then that we were marrying because of purpose and not just because we were in love with each other, because we weren't. We loved each other. Every once in a while, I still wonder if we in love. we just dearly, desperately love with each other, but we're not in bondage. We are, though, connected in covenant to each other based on purpose. I adore her as she relates to a larger purpose, not the least of which is, of course, the two children we have and adore. And I'm just being honest with you. And so sometimes this is a very careless statement. Because sometimes I think God created sex and humans created marriage to control sex.
Right. Go ahead.
Because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of our sexual, sensual, social inclinations and desires and the spiritual. Because we are sexual, social, sensual, and sexual beings. And so at any given time, even married people, you can walk into a mall or through a grocery store or to the park and encounter an energy from another human being, male or female, and the chemistry between you is instant. You may never address them verbally. You may never know their name and have any other encounter except a passing glance. But the energy and the chemistry between you says, I could get on with this person socially, and I like the way they look sensually. The sexual part is natural. That comes or goes. And the spiritual part is innate. These are realities we all experience. You can be very happy, satisfied in a marriage, and still encounter another energy on this planet anywhere with which you just would be just as easily married or connected or in love. That's a reality people don't want to acknowledge. I know my wife knows that I'm not the only handsome man in her life. Sometimes she don't even think I'm handsome, maybe. Maybe somebody else. You know, when you get that close, it's just the other realities. Nobody sleeps with me but my wife. Nobody smells morning breath but my wife. Nobody sees me in my most vulnerable times if I'm sick or nauseous or have diarrhea. You know, can we talk?
Yeah.
The person that you're with, you have babies with them. You belch at the table. You sometimes you're not as gentlemanly or ladylike with.
I like the way you put that.
Well, that's the beauty of a covenant. If I accept the things about my wife that I don't like. And I make a covenant with the fact that there may be some things in the relationship. She can cuss in front of me. She better not. No, I'm kidding. And we're church folk. I'm a pastor and a bishop. But, you know, I can break down. I don't have my breakdowns in my pulpit. I don't have in public. But if I had a breakdown in my house or she has a breakdown in my house, we're in covenant. Paul says this about Jesus, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection." I love that part. "And the fellowship of his suffering." Anybody wants to know you in the power of your resurrection, but who wants to identify you in the fellowship of your suffering? Mm-hmm. Marriage means that. It doesn't just mean having babies and the mansion or the White House or the townhouse, the little White House or the townhouse. It engages and really puts in gear every other modality in your energy and in your energy field. So all the single people, be comfortable being single first. I was very comfortable with my singleness. I went to Hawaii alone. I went to Jerusalem alone. I went to Cancun alone. I loved being with me. And that's why it's easier for my wife to love being with me.
Right.
She doesn't have to work through. Now, she might. If you're not getting along with yourself well, you're not going to get along with anybody else well. So I had to learn liking me enough, loving me enough, celebrating and tolerating me enough to never want to leave me. That didn't change me. I never wanted to leave me. So when it comes to worrying about am I going to get married, everybody loves many of the people who have children wish they never had. Children have broken their heart a zillion times. And they wish, so many people who are married wish they never had. The person they loved became totally different, or they changed dramatically. A lot of folks feel like they're victims when they're singles. You're not a victim unless you see yourself as one.
Yes, indeed.
Because everyone who wants children wants perfect ones. Everyone who wants a husband or wife or partner wants a perfect one. Everyone who wants a job wants a perfect one. Everyone who wants a ministry wants a perfect one. You want a perfect nose, perfect earlobes, perfect lips, perfect hips, perfect toes and nose. Everybody wants this model. You got to get away from all that. Sometimes you should, my wife and I have done this. We sat down and wrote down all the things, all the reasons why we loved each other. And then we agreed to tear those reasons up and throw them in the trash. Because if you make note of all the reasons why you love, you might be able to make note of all the reasons why you don't. So it's the why I do and why I don't that gets us confused. Because you're going to always have both. Always going to be both.
I want to jump in here because we've run out of time, or time, well, we never run out of time. Time's doing what time does. And I want to ask you about the I Am Peace Walk that's happened here in Atlanta. But one quick thing would you tell females, particularly women, generally speaking, who are looking for a mate, a partner, a husband at the church, and the church is not addressing relationship and sex, sexuality, just like what you're sharing with us? What would you say to them to kind of leave them empowered?
Well, don't look for a mate. Wait for one. Because you're looking and you can watch for one, and you can look at mates, possible mates. But when you start looking for one, there's anxiety, and you don't need that. Just wait for them to show up and look at them all. Stay open. And when the time is right and best, it'll happen. And if it doesn't, it wasn't supposed to. And it doesn't.
Yes.
And I had to tell myself because, you know, I had to pick up the litter. You know, I was single and traveling. But it was not that. I never took that for granted. I really waited on my wife. Waited for her, and now I'm waiting on her. I was waiting on her today trying to take her to church. She was late.
you said be open, and I would even say be open to know that you may connect with a person, attract a person outside of church or your spiritual center. Stop being so narrow-minded about what you're waiting for. Yeah, to
very
be able
good.
To know it can come in a grocery store in the worst of time where you just think, that's it, I just can't do this anymore. And somehow something shifts, a miracle happens. Okay, real quick. I think next time we invite you, we're just not even going to tell you how long the interview is going to be because we never keep within the time. And I think you kind of know that anyway. I'd just like to hear you go because you do go. But real quick, you're going to be in Atlanta for I Am Peace Walk. Can you tell us a little bit about that and anything else that you're doing that you want listeners to know about?
Well, this is the end of the Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi celebration of peace, their lives, and they were peace agents. It's a celebration of several days in the country. And David Ault, who pastors one of the Centers for Spiritual Living, asked me to come as a keynote for the rally. And I'll talk maybe probably about 20 minutes at the end of the rally. The march, it's just a few blocks, and there will be other churches in the Atlanta area joining it. The march starts at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I don't even have it in front of me. Where?
It's going to be at the Freedom Park, and those who live in Atlanta would know that. And if not, Google it. Freedom Park is a perfect place to start gathering at 10 a.m. in Freedom Park, at the intersection of Freedom Parkway and Moreland Avenue. Just listen to the drums.
And then I speak that Sunday morning twice. This Sunday morning at the Center for Spiritual Living that David Ault pastors. And I should have the exact name of that in front of me as well. Maybe you're...
Yeah, Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta. And they have a link. They stream their service as well. And Yvette, you gave me that link earlier. Can you post it again for me, Yvette, so I can share with the listeners who are listening, not just those in the chat room. But, yeah, we'll give that link out so people can catch you on Saturday as well. Anything else that you're doing or that's happening, what's going on in your world? We want our listeners to go before we release you.
Well, casting has begun, by the way, on the new movie that's being filmed on my based on This American Life show. I got to meet Jeffrey Wright, who I think will play me in the movie, And I heard recently that Robert Redford is going to play the role of Oral Roberts in that movie, and it's pretty exciting. And there's three different ladies that are being discussed to play the role of my wife, and it's going to be pretty interesting, very, very interesting.
Wow.
That won't come out for a while, but we're supposed to start shooting. They are late spring, early summer. And then for 2015, I've postponed the 2014 trip to Israel to 2015 in October. For those who've never been to the Middle East or to Israel, some call it the Holy Land, we're going to have the first inclusion tour in the Holy Land ever held. We will visit all the sacred spots of the Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Druids, and go up to Haifa, to the Baha'i faith. There'll be a contingent of same gender-loving people who will come along and be included in the conversation. That's a first. My contact in Israel is actually a consultant to the Prime Minister, and he's done I've been there 12 times, but he's done three of my most pronounced tours, Ronnie Wexler, and he's putting this one together. So it's October. You can go to the site, and people can start actually saving for it. Now, I wish you could come along, Ade. You'd be excellent, because we have panel discussions every night. On the Sea of Galilee, in Mediterranean, and in Jerusalem, the old city, the new. It'll be a fantastic place for you know, maybe 100 or so of us to go and just eat the foods and talk with and visit the homes and do some things that normal tourists don't do when they go.
And that's anything is possible.
It is.
Anything is possible. I stay open. Now, the Center for Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta, their website address is slca.com. The phone number is 404-417-0008. You can find out more information about the walk and check out Reverend on Sunday. I think they have a 9:30 service, something like that. Go on the website, you'll find it out.
And Dean Polk's going to be there with his choir from Truth and Spirit Sanctuary. They're my favorites.
Oh, y'all going to turn that place upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
they're
going to
march
up,
and sing and dance.
Woo, it's going to be smoking. Bishop Carlton, as always, it's always a blessing, a joy to have you here. And once again, thank you for calling last week for my birthday surprise. It was definitely, I was like, who is this? Thank you for all the work you're doing. I'm grateful for your wonderful assistant, Michelle. Give her our love, and of course to your wife, Gina.
Thank you. I will do both. I love you so much. You have the most extraordinary staff, so positive, such high vibrations, high energy. You're helping so many people. Thanks for being you and for agreeing to come to this plane and planet of consciousness.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, my brother. Peace and blessings.
Thank you, all you folks listening. Peace and blessing to you as well.
Yes.
Bye.
Life is good. Bye. That's why I love the bishop. That was cute. Oh, he makes me be peaceful with my craziness. We are both nuts. We never underestimate the spirit. N-U-T-S. We never underestimate the spirit. It's almost time to get out of here. Thank you for your question. Thank you, Ebony, for calling in. Listeners in the chat room, Yvette and Celeste, what are you doing? And the questions that you had for the bishop, those of you that are listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love and appreciate you. And here's a holy prayer. In beauty, may I walk. Karen Drucker, I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back on Monday. Today's Wednesday, right? Yes, it is. Woo! I'll be back on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern, live. Don't forget to join me for Sounds of Soul with Ade Anifowishe on the Light page, which is the Sounds of Soul with Ade Anifowishe. Also, you can check me out. There's this British woman in my ear telling me how much time I got left. Can you be quiet, please? I'm doing a show. Okay, so what else do I need to tell you? Make sure you join Ambassador tomorrow, where she is supporting you and asking you, have you played with yourself today? P-L-A-Y. Have you passionately loved and appreciated yourself? 7 p.m. Eastern on Life Conversations Radio with Ambassador Sofera. And Sunday, join Celeste for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, where she'll be pulling cards and numbers and all the great things that she does, pulling music and songs. It is such a blessing to have you here today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. Be love. Be true to yourself and allow yourself to be loved. Be loved, beloved. Peace and blessings. KarenDrucker.com. In beauty, may I walk.